It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder. Embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey, welcome to Loving the Strange, the podcast of weirdness, eclectic eccentricness, and random. Every week, we hope that Sean won't swear.
Eclectic eccentricness, that's amazing.
Is that a brand new phrase I just created?
I think so.
Proving the truth that we're eclectic eccentric.
Hey, Dee Harris is here.
Whoop whoop. Hey, Dee. So this podcast, thankfully, Dee is here listening, hanging out with us. It's all about people and in groups and as individuals going missing, and the conspiracy theories abounding around them. Hey, Doug Marshall! Woo! So I did no research for this podcast.
What?
And it's all on Sean.
You better start typing away, girl.
Let me go Google some stuff. But yeah, it's all Sean's baby this week. Sean,
possible. Go ahead.
Anyways, can make a baby all by yourself via the modern miracles of podcast medicine. But tell me why you wanted to do a thing about missing people.
I don't know. Because you make me come up with the ideas every week and I just about run out. No, because I find it a little bit interesting.
Yeah. When
some people just kind of disappear. Although, honestly, I think there's a valid explanation for probably every one of them.
Yeah.
But some of them aren't readily available, so those are the interesting ones.
Do you think that, what do you think it is that makes people fixated on missing people stories, or, you know, like missing communities, like when an entire Inuit community goes missing, like the Roanoke stories, or like all of those, like, is it like the true
crime? I think some people have like a genuine scientific interest.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of them are like the same people that want to go on a real life treasure hunt.
Oh.
They just want to solve the puzzle. They want to be the ones that can do it.
That makes so much sense to me. If you can solve the puzzle of where this missing person is, you can give yourself a purpose and a meaning while you're trying to solve the puzzle. It's like doing the New York Times spelling bee, but bigger and for good.
That's right. Spelling bee is for good, man.
The New York Times spelling bee is not for good.
It's good for your brain.
Don't give me my words.
It's good for your brain.
Can we just have a timeout where I get pretentious and complain about
the New York Times? Of course we can.
Please. Okay, so the New York Times spelling bee never gives me science words. Like, I always have DNA words and stuff like that, and they never give them to me. It's fair. They wouldn't give me angelic the other day.
Yeah, that one was stupid.
I was very angry.
Me too.
Okay, but moving back to the podcast, do people go missing? Because, yes. Do people go missing because they're just that frustrated with the New York Times spelling bee?
Sometimes, yes. I think so.
I don't know. I feel like Doug and Dee have already abandoned us. But are there certain missing people cases that intrigue you, or conspiracy theories behind this, Sean?
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Carrie.
Well, Sean.
You said my name first.
I know, it's fun to say your name. I like to remember who I'm married to. So.
Well, how about if we go over some real life data first?
I love data. Data's good.
So according to the national, this is from worldpopulationreview.com.
All right. And the links again will be where, Sean?
In the podcast notes.
Okay.
According to the National Missing.
And where are those?
Where are they?
Yeah.
On the site, wherever you choose to listen to the podcast or watch.
So the resources will be wherever you're listening to the podcast, but they'll also be at carriejonesbooks.blog.
Thanks, baby.
You're welcome.
According to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons Database, which is funded by the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 600,000 persons of all ages go missing every year. And approximately 4,400 unidentified bodies are recovered every year.
How many?
4,400.
Just bodies?
Just bodies.
That they don't know who they are? Like who they don't belong? They don't know who they belong to?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
So the vast majority of missing persons cases are resolved relatively quickly.
Babe.
In 2012, there were 661,000 missing persons cases. What?
Our buffering just went bad.
Just for you.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, I stayed here. You went away.
No, baby, we were both black boxes of nothingness. All right. Can you repeat what you said? Yeah, just repeat what...
All right. Every year, more than 600,000 persons of all ages go missing. Every year. And approximately 4,400 unidentified bodies are recovered every year.
Yay.
The vast majority of missing persons cases are resolved relatively quickly. For example, in 2012, there were 661,000 missing person cases reported. More than 659,000 of them were resolved within a year.
Wow.
So, there's not a whole lot of people that go missing forever on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2,000, approximately, in 2012. But those numbers add up over the years, of course.
Right. Yeah.
And they're always, until you're found, you're always missing, so...
Huh.
You know, do you want to know a couple states with the highest missing persons?
I would love to, actually.
What do you think is number one?
Florida?
Oh, that's close. California.
California.
Yeah. Yep. And number two is Florida. It's kind of like by size. Number three is Texas.
Georgia.
They're not even in the top 10.
What?
Yeah.
Doug Marshall said alligators gotta eat.
That's right. See, they don't have any alligators in California. That's why there's more missing people. That doesn't make sense. But
no, it doesn't make any sense at all.
I know.
Oh, Shawnee.
Anyways. So those are some real life data. Alaska has the most missing people per 100,000 per capita.
What has the least? Like the least, do you know?
Massachusetts.
Oh.
They have 1.8, whereas Alaska has 41.8.
What do you think the reason for, does anyone say the reason for that difference is? Like,
well, as far as Massachusetts, I don't know. I think, I really don't know. But it's easy to think about for Alaska, I believe. All that wilderness and self-survival and stuff. Like the smallest injury out in the, if you're far away from your home base could kill you.
D said it's because of the vampires that come when they have 30 days of night.
I never thought about that. But that's a good friggin' idea.
Like midnight massing right there, D.
It's like a feeding us. It's like a feeding frenzy. Yeah. Alaska's got to be a high percentage of vampires by now.
Yeah, man. Like, can you imagine? Like, you never get to be like, when the sun comes up, we'll be okay. Because the sun doesn't come up for so
But it does eventually. Then what do they do? They must hibernate in a closet.
Has anybody written a vampire novel in Alaska as the setting? Because that would be brilliant.
Probably not.
Somebody should write that. If we put a lot of sex scenes in it, I bet we'd actually make money.
You can make money sex scenes in it, baby.
I'm trying to learn how to write a sex scene so I can make more money as a writer. Things have gotten desperate here.
Have you been practicing?
No.
Because I haven't seen any of your practice work.
No, I haven't.
Come
I'm
on,
too
man, you get
uptight.
to
I'm
it.
too uptight to do it. I'm too
Get
uptight.
to it.
I
You can
can't
do it.
do it.
Just go beyond real
Can't.
life.
I can't do it. All right, tell us more about missing people.
Well, that's about all the numbers I have.
That's it?
Although I can tell you that Rhode Island has the smallest amount of missing people. It's 20. So they're doing pretty darn good.
They're doing pretty darn what?
Good. Well,
Oh, okay.
with their
Good.
missing people, they find them a lot. But
Well,
you know,
that's
that
pretty
doesn't mean
good.
they're always alive. They're dead a lot of times.
Well, this is an uplifting holiday podcast.
Well, what do you think people go missing for a lot of times?
I don't know. Did you want to talk about Susie said, it's Be Brave Friday, do it, which I think means write the sex scenes,
That's
Carrie.
right, baby. I want to see 500 words before you go to bed tonight.
Yeah, no, that's not
All
going to
sex scene, but you
happen.
can do 100 of foreplay.
I definitely would not be able to.
Come on, man. You can do it,
I
baby.
can't do
I
it.
got
I
faith
can't do
in you.
it. I can't do it.
Be
Oh, my hair got
brave.
messed
Be
up.
brave. Be
What?
brave. Be
I
brave.
know. I should. It should be Be Brave Friday, but I can't do
Then you
it.
can use it next Friday.
All right. Anyways,
Yes.
tell us, like, are there any missing people, like, conspiracies that intrigue
Yes, of
you?
course there are. I don't know that they intrigue me,
Okay.
but they're sort of interesting in their ludicrousy.
Oh, look at you coming out with a
Yeah,
hot take. I'm gonna have to like post that as a comment. Hot take.
so one of the big ones right now, I mean, like right now, is that national parks actually harbor whole populations of cannibalistic feral humans. Because, you know, a lot of people go
Wait,
missing in
wait.
national parks.
So
What?
they're cannibals and they're feral. They're not
Yeah,
like smart cannibals. They're
well,
just like,
maybe they used,
feral
maybe
seems
they are.
wild to me.
But
Like you're
they're,
not
that's,
really computing.
now they're wild and that's how they live, but they definitely might be smart. I mean, they've been hidden like this. I mean, I've never heard a report of somebody seeing a cannibalistic feral human, but I've heard reports of people seeing Bigfoot. So they're even smarter. Right?
Bigfoot.
Anyways, so people think these cannibalistic feral humans just snatch people like right off the trail. Shabah! And they take them back and they make a big old stew.
Humans do?
Yeah, humans do.
Wow.
And then when the carcass is clean, they make broth.
Well, this is very, like, what do they use for?
Of
Is it true? Like, are you making that up? Are you
course
making
I
that
am.
up?
I'm making it up, baby.
Oh,
But not the
that's
cannibal
not
feral
fair.
part. People do, but
That was a big
that's a huge theory right now. Like a
thing on
conspiracy theory.
TikTok, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, all these people in Tennessee go missing. And I think one of the TikTok users said that everyone in Tennessee is used to eating everything, so like this isn't a big deal.
Hey, Tennessee is number 10 on my top 10
Top 10 what?
missing people. Would
Oh,
you ever think
interesting.
that? Yeah, I know.
No. Where's Maine, where we live?
We on down there a little bit. I can tell you if you give me one second.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Anyway, so I think when Sean mentioned this, I did a quick bit of research, and according to the Focus.news article by Bruno Cook with an E, he says that there was a big debate starting in early February where TikTok users Garcias, Rock Bottom, Wren, Bonjour Becky, and I kind of enjoy saying TikTok users' names, and Petra Galvano, among others, started like being really into like whether or not there are feral people in the national parks, particularly in the beautiful state of Tennessee. And one of those TikTok users said that 1,600 people go missing in national parks every year. And then another one was like, yeah, no. Like you can be scared of a ton of stuff in 2021, but this is not something you should be scared of. And another one said that So, oh, I'm sorry, I misquoted. Quote, another who recorded her video from the mountains of Tennessee discouraged claims of cannibalism. She argued that because people in Tennessee are so used to eating, quote, everything else, there is no reason for them to eat each other, end quote. It's like, we'll eat rocks at the side of the road, is what it sounded like.
I think she means like raccoons and possums and all squirrels.
And yeah,
rabbits,
yeah. And
deer, yeah.
Yeah. Just to catch up, Doug Marshall and mentioned alien abduction as a possibility. Dee Harris said, it's like a wrong turn. Those peeps in the movie were crazy, LOL. I watch a lot of horror movies. And then Susie said, 30 Days of Night is a 2007 vampire film set in Alaska. Which
somebody's got the idea already, man.
Obviously need to watch. And Doug said, The Hills Have Eyes, which I think is more about the cannibalism.
I don't know. I've never watched it.
He also said, I bet those Tennessee cannibals aren't fully vaccinated. Maybe if you eat someone with COVID. Oh, I feel like this is going to be a new thing.
You get the antibodies?
Yeah. Sean coughed during that, which was the perfect timing. Thank you, Sean, for the cough.
You're welcome,
beautifully
baby.
Done. Beautifully done.
I know. Covering for you.
So did you get the info that you were looking for?
What info? Oh, Maine. Maine is like... Maine's like 35th.
Oh,
at 108 missing people
every year.
No, that means like open cases.
Oh, huh.
Well, yeah.
You'd think we'd have more. We're a very woody state. Like if the whole like, oh, there are feral people in the woods snatching you up theory is right.
Yeah,
I think we'd have more missing people. Because we're so woody.
You would think so. But we're a heavily traversed woody. Because we're not super, like, we're not Western Mountains woody where there's a lot of ground that people really don't cover very often. You know?
What?
I said Maine is a heavily traversed woody.
No, we're not. Not up in the north part.
By hunters and stuff,
in the
yes.
county?
But didn't you? Okay.
All right.
Maine's an ugly state, and nobody wants to go hiking in our woods. That's why they never go missing.
No, as a reporter, I went into the Maine woods on a big adventure with part of a media blast, and we went to all these places that like hardly anybody ever went to, and it was amazing. But there's a lot of Maine woods. That's just a logging road and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's perfect.
For what? Places. Dumping bodies?
For dumping bodies. Yeah. For like when we went, we were just driving along and we heard like, there was like a den of foxes that had just been born right beside the road. It was amazing. And we saw these coy wolves everywhere and like bears. It was stunning. It was stunning. But there's loggers who go up there. Shouldn't they go missing if there's cannibals looking for some food? Or maybe the cannibals are just eating foxes and they don't need to be cannibals.
Maybe. Maybe they're just breeding like crazy and eating each other.
Ew. Like black widow spiders or something?
Whatever. Yeah, that's right.
No, baby, no.
You get to reach a certain age. That means you're tender.
No.
You can't even breathe anymore.
Oh, no.
You're getting eaten.
So there's a guy who has a huge fan base named Dave. What's his name, babe? P-A-U-L.
Oh,
I don't know how to say it. Paul Ides. So it's P-A-U-L-I-D-E-S. And he, I think, started in the Bigfoot community, but I might be wrong. And he used to be a cop. And he has all these videos and all these books about missing 411, in which he claims that there's really freaky things in that he sees as trends, in that quote, defy simple explanation, and the people that go missing in national parks. And he doesn't think it's feral cannibals who are killing each other, because he doesn't. Instead, he thinks it might be Bigfoot or Sasquatch, or aliens. Other people think that it's a Wendigo, which is part of many Native American nations' belief system, and history, in which Wendigos are these. It's hard for me to describe this because I'm not of that nation, but they're basically really gaunt. They're desiccated, and they eat people, right? There's a lot more spiritual aspects to that that I can't really speak to, so I don't want to, but because I don't want to misrepresent. And then other people think there are portals. So like you're walking through the woods and boom, you go through a portal, and then you're no longer there, and then you're missing. So all I know is that every time I pitch a book, my agent says, editors don't want portal fantasies right now. So I suggest that the portal theory is not really hot. But Bigfoot or, something else might be.
Well, I don't know. If they're saying don't send me portal books, that might be hot.
Know. Maybe it's like there's too many.
For a movie, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Right. Didn't you look a little bit about that? Like,
Portals? I did not look up
no,
anything.
the missing 411
Oh, yeah, I
theory.
tried, but I didn't get anywhere because all I found was his advertising site.
Oh,
So,
really?
for his books and his movie, yeah.
So you didn't get any like.
Not from that, no. I know we've seen it before. I just don't, at night in bed. I don't know why
At
we're getting
night
planted
in
tonight.
bed, we
Yeah.
just see that David Paulides guy or Paulides guy, and there he is joining us. He walks through a portal with some Sasquatch and cannibals, feral cannibals, and boom, there he is. Talk about missing people. So Doug Marshall said about 50 years ago, a father in Vermont took his two little boys out in the woods to chop firewood. The boys wandered off and were never found alive. Years later, a hiker found the boys' skeletons sitting on a log, their bones entwined. Oh,
It
that's so sad.
is, isn't it?
Yeah. So a lot of the people who believe that there's something like mystical or paranormal happening,
Right.
with little kids disappearing, is they believe one of their things is that little kids under five can't get anywhere very fast, which as a mom, I would say is not true. They can't get 14 miles, but you blink and those children are like
Yeah,
hiding
that's
in
right.
kids, like poof, they're gone. And like it's interesting to me that that's always one of the reasons that they think that something other has happened. They're like, oh, a kid couldn't have wandered off that fast. But
Well,
gosh,
there was
I
one
gotta
case I read of
tell us about it.
that I did find interesting. And that was of a 2-year-old, so a toddler,
Super
basically.
little.
Keith Parkins.
Oh.
And he disappeared in the Umatilla National Forest in Ritter, Oregon. Oregon. But
Friggin'.
he was really on his grandfather's ranch. He wasn't like, that must be part of the park property or something.
Okay.
And he disappeared, and so they had this big hunt. And they found him alive. Like he survived. He's still alive, I think. Anyway,
Oh, that's good.
he says he doesn't remember anything about the event.
And this was a long time ago, right? Like
Yes, I'm not sure of the date right here.
in the 50s, I think.
I think so too. But he was okay, so I've read different accounts of this same story. But he was located anywhere from 6 to 12 miles away from where he was last seen. And he's a 2-year-old. And it was, I believe, in like 19 hours that went by before they found him. So that's the kind of thing that lends the case of like a Bigfoot picked him up and just dropped him, or aliens sucked him up into their spaceship. And one of the aliens was like, dude, this is a human child. You know how much shit's going to be rained down on us? So they just spin him back out after they had traveled a couple miles. You know what I mean?
I feel like the UFO people, if they have the ability to be UFOs, would be able to get them back a little bit closer than 8 to 18 miles away.
They didn't want to get back to the crime scene. That's criminalistics 101. Don't go back.
Criminalistics.
Dogs don't poop where they sleep, man.
Maybe we should have a new podcast and just call it Criminalistics 101.
No.
Sean helps you be a criminal. And probably way more popular.
I don't even know how to be a criminal nowadays. There's too many cameras around the world.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Prosthetic noses?
No. Yeah. You gotta go somewhere where you're not known, for one thing. Because I know for a fact you can dress head to toe in like black and never show an inch of your identifying skin or features. And somebody could be like, oh, I know that walk. You know, if you're like in a small town like where we live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's hard.
It's really hard where we live. It's hard to be a criminal in Bar Harbor, Maine.
It's real hard.
It's very hard. There was a post on a town next to us, a police department. And I think it was the Ellsworth Police Department on Facebook. And they had just a random picture of a man outside in a parking lot with no shoes on. And they're like, if anyone has any information on this guy, please let us know. There's all these things. And people are like, oh, this poor guy has no shoes. And other people are arguing, like, what do you mean, poor guy? The cops want him. And they're like, you don't even know what they want him for. Maybe they want to buy him some shoes. Shut up. And so everybody started fighting. But then the best part was this woman's like, that looks like my ex-husband. And then all these
people, hey, that's my dad.
And then like 7 other people are like, I was going to tell you about this. I was just about to tag you, Llewellyn, or whatever her name was. Like, Luella, let's make her Luella. Like, and then like another one and another one from all her friends were all like, I think this is, make up his name, Ronnie. I think that's Ronnie right there. I wouldn't surprise me if that was Ronnie. Jeez, old crow. Like, it was just like.
Yep.
And that's why you can't do crime.
Small town.
Down East Maine. Because that one camera that gets you at Walmart or at the Circle K gasoline station.
Yeah.
It's gonna.
That's right.
Blow up in your face.
Doug Marshall asked us a question, babe. Ask me a question.
All right. You can read it then.
He said, so Doug Marshall asked me, Sean, did you ever recover any missing people as a cop? I don't know.
Yes, you did.
Did I? I know I did recover an ice skater that fell through the ice, but that was at their house because they just went home to warm up.
No, there was a girl in Bangor, babe.
Oh, that was a runaway, but she was technically a missing person. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you probably found a lot of runaways.
I don't know. Probably, but we did have habitual runaways back then.
Yeah. Sean's terrible at remembering his cop stories, Doug. It's really disappointing to me as an author.
Some I remember perfectly, but some I don't. I just don't care.
Oh, no.
That's why,
Loving the Strange, where our brand is, we just don't care.
That's not true.
Good branding. That's not good branding.
It's not true. That's just how low reward law enforcement is. Because you only want to remember the ones that stand out as a good thing for you.
He's found a lot of missing people who were criminals and running away.
Yeah, I have done that.
Like Sean would like
That doesn't count. They weren't reported missing.
Sean would like leave like the station, be off duty, to be driving back home to a different town, and he'd be like, "Oh no, there's that license plate for the guy we're looking for. Damn." And then have to get them. People got so good. You
Yes,
remember that one trend? Like
I
people would.
remember the guy stole a car and I pulled over because I knew it was the, I thought it was the right car, and for some reason he went off the road about a quarter mile ahead, so.
Because you scared him.
Well, I guess I did, but I was just in my own vehicle.
And my favorite Shawnee Cop story is the one where there was some sort of bar fight. Obviously, the first time I heard this, I didn't even hear it from Sean, but there was this big bar fight in Bar Harbor, and this poor guy had just gotten out of jail and he broke a window or something because his poor dad had died. It was like really sad. But then he got into a fight because he was obviously just out of jail and dealing with his grief, and it's a lot. It's a lot for anybody. And so all the cops were chasing after him, and like Sean was like, "Oh God, they're not catching this guy." And so he left and he like drove in his squad car down towards where the guy was running, right? And then all these really, really young, fit guys were running after him and they couldn't catch up, right? So Sean just kind of like strategically parks his squad car or whatever patrol car and like starts running after this poor guy, right? Sorry, honey. But he's running after this poor guy who's grieving and just not acting out very well. And he like Sean's very tall. And he's not the best distance runner, but when this man sprints, it's terrifying. And he sprinted after this. And one of the very fit cops who was telling me the story the other day, he was like, I can't even explain it. Like, it was like watching Superman. Like, it was not human how he ran. And I thought, oh, like a Bigfoot. But like he ran so fast that like all the other cops were like, "Oh, what the heck?" and swearing. And then the poor guy like ran down to the town wharf and he tried to jump on like a skiff and tried to start the motor. Is that sound right? And then he got on the and then he just kind of started the motor. And Sean, like, and there's all these tourists because when Sean in a cop uniform back then ran after somebody, like, you're gonna watch and take film because it's scary. And also, like, you're like, what the heck is going on? So all these tourists are like lined up on the wharf and where the boats and the skiffs are, like down below. And like Sean's down there, and another cop's down there too after a second. And like Sean, like, reaches over with these giant long Sean arms and goes and grabs this guy by like his shirt and his belt or something, and like just goes whoop, through the air and puts him on the dock and cuffs him. And the cop telling me was like, "He's not human." It made all of us feel bad. We all felt like
You
crap.
did a good job with that story, but you left
Was
out
it
one
okay?
important part.
Oh no, what was it?
The other cop that was down there was my junior, so when this guy had untied the boat from the dock and it was floating away, I made him jump into the boat
Oh no.
and get it back to the dock so I could lift the guy out of the
No,
boat.
that
Oh yeah.
would happen? Oh, I
I
didn't
was
know
exhausted
that.
after all that running, so I need a little breather, so I made him jump in the boat.
Was my favorite cop story of yours just because of like the other cop showing you like grabbing and like bringing this poor kid over here. I hope that kid's okay now.
He's either dead or he's fine.
I hope he's okay. But
Knows?
Sean's not the best at remembering his story. It's like you have to like trigger them somehow. You have to like.
That's true. I can remember them, but I don't trigger them myself.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyways, so going back to missing people, Susie asked, "How about the legend of Pomola, Mount Katahdin? Do you know that
Did you
legend?"
happen to look that up?
Not while I was telling that story.
Oh, dude, I thought you were a multitasker.
I know a little bit about it, but I feel like I might be messing it up. But I think that it was the Penobscots, and they thought in the summer on top of Katahdin, which is the biggest mountain in Maine, there was a spirit named Pomola, who I'm probably saying wrong,
It's
incorrectly.
Kamala.
No, it's not Kamala. And
I mean Pamela.
I think it means he curses on the mountain.
Oh.
I'm
All
not
right.
sure. I should probably look it up. Susie might be able to tell us more
What
about
does
this.
curses mean? Is that like
I know. Like, are they
a
swearing or are
substitute
they
word?
cursing things? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
yeah. But I don't remember enough of it to be able to feel like I can accurately retell it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll look it up. Sean, talk about something else.
I'm gonna talk about my theory on people that go missing and don't get found.
That would be fantastic.
You're not gonna like it,
Oh, does
because
it
I
not
think
involve Bigfoot?
no, it doesn't. Like, I think there's almost an equal number of people that experience a severe tragedy, like falling off the rim of the Grand Canyon, and they just have end up in the river and are gone, or people that go out there to commit suicide. That's a huge number, especially in national parks. National parks are suicidal people attractants for some
Well,
reason.
like in the last 5 years, we had in our very small national park during the winter, we had one missing guy who did indeed kill himself.
Yeah.
And we had a guy who I was acquaintances with, who I adored, who went missing, but what his body was found. And we never seem to have people who go missing forever in our little national park, mainly because it's little.
It doesn't seem that way, really. I mean, the longest time person that I'm aware of is eventually was found on the shore of one of the islands, like his bones. So.
And they're never kids here, like all the stories out west. Like, they're never little kids who go missing. They're like,
Oh no. They're 30, 40-year-olds.
and
The ones
like
that go missing and aren't just missing for like a night,
a
and they
night.
actually did slip off a cliff or something. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think, like, also recently, I think last year during COVID, during the lockdown, there was a couple from another state who fell off a mountain and died. And I think technically they were missing for like a
Yeah,
day or
for a
two.
little bit, yeah.
So your theory is basically that a lot of people go into the woods where it's beautiful and serene and where they're not going to make a mess in their house and commit suicide. And then what's the other part of the
A
theory?
lot of them are legitimate accidents that just end up with your body being somewhere odd. Like you fall off a cliff into the ocean or a river or something. And then there's the ones where if you're like a smaller statured person or a child, Bigfoot picks you up and throws you on a shoulder and takes you away.
I like that one.
So they find footprints, but they don't go anywhere. They just dead end. And they never see Bigfoot footprints because he appeared and disappeared in a portal.
That's right. That's how it
Yep.
works. They're on Listverse. They have a on a po more positive note, they have like a list of 10 people who survived getting lost in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a list compiled by Shannon Quinn. And your Keith guy, little kid, was on there. But there's also, I think, an interesting story about this woman, Barbara, and her granddaughter, Lamira, and their last name is Briley. And Barbara was 71, and she was from New Jersey, and she was driving to North Carolina to see relatives, right? for Christmas, and she brought her granddaughter, Lemire with her. And they're in the middle of Virginia, and she's just totally lost. Like, has no idea where she is. Like, she couldn't get the GPS to work. She went to a gas station. They tried to help her, but she still, like, just couldn't get the GPS thing going, right? And in a way that made sense, which I think we can all relate to, honestly. And so she turns down a random dirt road, and she's like, goes a mile down this dirt road. She drives over a tree. It's like a little tree, and it's already fallen, and her car gets stuck. And so they're just like lost, right? But like, so they were like, okay, we're supposed to wait. We're supposed to wait when, you know, that's what you do when you get lost, you stay put, which is the right advice. But it was so remote that no one drove down the road for like days and days and days. And like, helicopters were looking for them, but the tree cover was so heavy that they didn't know. And it was, it turned out it was like on a, it was a private property road.
Oh, geez.
And so the owner of the property is the one who eventually found them. And poor Barbara was just like totally unresponsive. But her little baby grandchild, granddaughter, who was like really little, like maybe five or less, was like, hey, like totally fine, like blah, 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 blah. And I guess they had eaten snacks that they were bringing to the Christmas party.
Oh, nice.
And they turned out to be totally fine, but they were missing for so long.
Yeah.
And I think the key here is if you go missing, stay, like, tree cover is not your friend.
And hope you have some snacks.
Definitely. But it made me think of that time. Do you remember when there was a, in our park, Acadia National Park, there's like roads that you go, you can drive around in the park called the Park Loop Road. It's very long. It has beautiful vistas, blah, blah, blah. And tourists love it, right? And our park is best for hiking and biking, going on the carriage roads and up the mini mountains. But if you can't do that, it's still really fun to drive your car on the Park Loop Road. And so this couple from another country, I think, had a GPS in their car. And they're on the straightaway of the road, and they turned off the road directly into a tree. Do you remember this?
No.
You might not have known it, because it might not, it might have been in a town I was dispatching versus the town you were working. Oh,
actually, I might have heard about that. That's because of their GPS device, right?
Yeah, and they're and like, all the first responders are like, why did you turn off the road into a tree? And the guy's like, the GPS told me to turn left. And they were like, there's no road here. And he was like, no, the GPS told me to turn left.
Yes, I think there's an identifying marker for that story, which I'm not going to say on the air, but
no, don't tell. But yeah, like, it was so sad. I remember that. And it was just shows our reliance on technology. Like, sometimes, like,
sometimes
there's too much reliance on technology.
I've also seen cars up on big giant boulders that are so big the car can't move anymore because two of the wheels are off the ground because they were doing driving practice in the parking lot.
What?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with missing people, but just drivers being dependent on GPS.
Wow.
Like, if there's no road, you don't turn, pal.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Have you ever heard the story of Shannon Lee Fraser from Australia?
Maybe.
All right.
Today, so Shannon, as of today.
Oh, do you want me to tell it or do you want to tell
it? I can't tell it. You got to tell it.
Okay. So Shannon was a 30-year-old lady in Australia, right? She went swimming in a swimming hole. I'm not sure what that means in Australia. But here it would mean like a pond, right?
Right, right.
Or quarry. Yep. And she started arguing with her fiance, as one does. And so she's like, I have to calm down. And so she decided to get out of the swimming hole and take a little walk in the bush, right? Mm-hmm. But she got lost.
Oh, no.
No one found her. and no one could find her at all. And so, like, they spent 800 hours looking for her, couldn't find her. And then 17 days later, she shows up almost to the exact point of where she's took off by that swimming hole.
I did read that story, actually.
But to make it weirder, she's completely naked.
Yeah.
Except, what does she have? Do you remember?
No.
A plastic fertilizer bag.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was wearing a plastic fertilizer bag, right?
Yeah. And she lost 35 pounds, best diet ever, in that 17 days. And she was found by a farmer. And all she could do, like, for food was she ate bugs. And she found fish, and she drank some water in a creek, and she, like, they think that the reason that they couldn't find her is that she never turned around, I guess, until the end. And she just kept going uphill and uphill and uphill into the mountains, and the searchers are like, no one would go up into the mountains if they're wandering around lost.
I read another story like that, and the common theory for search teams is that people always go downhill.
Yeah.
So if you get lost, go downhill. Don't go up. They'll never find you.
I think Tom Brown had a different view of that, didn't he?
I don't know.
Tom Brown, that famous guy and tracker from New Jersey.
But Tom Brown can probably survive in the woods. Most people can't.
No, he had a carry the podcast for a second. I'll go find the source. Yeah, you can. It's gonna take it's a minute.
What were you just talking about? Oh, she's gonna get a Tom Brown book.
Can't find it.
She used to want to be an animal tracker. All right. So in 1981. There was a lady named Jean Hilliard in Minnesota, and her car went off the road. And the next day, her frozen body was discovered. Oh. Her eyes wide open, her flesh frozen so solid that doctors couldn't pierce it with a hypodermic needle. Her body temperature was too low to register on a thermometer. But when Hilliard thought, she was very much alive and made a full recovery. How's that?
I only heard the end.
It's a happy ending.
It sounded gross.
What? That she's alive and made a full recovery?
No, that's wonderful. But, like, she was frozen?
Yeah, like solid. Almost.
Really?
It's crazy. It's one of those weird things. And she was only technically missing for, like, half a day, probably.
Oh, that's so sad.
So she barely fits in here.
Wow.
Are you still looking up Tom Brown?
No, I can't find it. I couldn't find his book.
Oh, I thought you know it by heart, baby.
I should know it by heart because I wanted to be Tom Brown as a little kid.
I'm glad you're not Tom Brown because I don't know if I can sleep with Tom Brown every night.
I think you could. All right, all right, all right.
No, that's not all right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, yeah. All right, have you heard about, maybe we should just have a podcast about Tom Brown.
Tracking animals?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I haven't done that much animal tracking.
I love animals. Okay, anyway, I'm going to just expose myself for the goob I am.
Go ahead, baby.
Lisa Theris, did you read about her?
I don't know. I'm not good with names.
All right, so Lisa was a student of radiology. She's 25 years old, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Summer. It's 2017, and she's just gone, right? And she's gone for several weeks, and people are like, okay, let's declare her dead, right? But what happened is she, like, hung out with these two guys she just met.
Yeah.
And they are not cool guys. No. And so she woke up totally naked, no shoes or anything. And she's in Alabama and she's in the forest and her glasses are gone. And she's
I did
like,
read about her. Poor girl.
yeah, and she like can't see anything because she's legally blind without her glasses. So
Just like I used to be.
she gets super lost, kind of finds a walking stick, wanders around. She has no memory of how she got there. Like, so they think she might have been drugged. And she's gone for 28 days. And
That's a long time.
she just eats mushrooms and berries and puddle water and wrings water out of her hair when it rains.
Well, that's a good
And
idea.
yeah, if you have hair, Sean, you gotta grow your
Suck
hair
on it.
out in case you go
Yeah.
missing. And so she gets to a road and collapses, right? This poor thing, this poor, poor woman. She lost 40 pounds. So you can just imagine how like hungry and like disoriented she must have been. Plus, she can't see very well and collapses on the side of the road. And a woman drives by and she's like, oh, that's a dead animal over there. But she like pulls over anyway. And like then she's like, oh my God, it's a woman. And she calls 911 and they like save her. And
That's good. It's a good thing it
punks
wasn't one
that
of those cannibals driving
I know, so lucky, or Bigfoot. It's a good thing Bigfoot wasn't driving by in his Tacoma.
by.
But like the two awful men that she'd been hanging out with, they were already arrested because they got arrested for a theft, like right, like a couple
While
days
she
after
was
she
missing?
disappeared. Yeah.
Jesus.
And she can't like remember like any of the events into before she woke up in that woods.
So
But
they
she
probably got
said,
they probably didn't get charged with anything in relation to her, huh?
I have no idea. But she said that the whole experience made her like appreciate life. You know, and that the walking stick itself was like her symbol and this thing that she hangs on to because it helped her so much navigate that forest.
She was blind.
I know that
Right?
poor lady. Like, I'm so glad she survived and she has such a great outlook, but oh my gosh, poor honey. So sad.
That is
Talk about
sad.
fidget. I
Yeah,
know.
I know.
Oh, Susie said Maine has one of the most famous lost stories, which is so true, and I totally forgot about. And that's Don Fendler's Lost on a Mountain in Maine.
I got it up right now.
You do tell us it then, babe.
In July of 1939, at the age of 12, he got separated from his family and became
Poor
lost on Maine's
baby.
Mount Katahdin. What?
I said
Poor
poor
baby, did you
baby.
say? Okay.
Yeah, poor baby.
His disappearance launched a manhunt, which became front page news throughout the nation and involved hundreds of volunteers. Little Donnie survived for 9 days without food or proper clothing before following a stream and telephone line out of the woods near Stacyville, Maine. So he was a smart little boy. Fender was dehydrated, covered with insect bites, no-see-ums, no doubt, and 16 pounds lighter than at the beginning of his odyssey, but otherwise unharmed.
It's amazing.
And he credited his experience as a Boy Scout in helping him survive the ordeal. Yup, I knew it. Boy Scout through and through.
That's like a he made a lot of speaking appearances and stuff after that, like
He
throughout
was
his
90
whole
years
life.
old when he died in Bangor,
Yeah.
Maine.
He's a very famous Mainer who got lost.
I think I should
What?
go out and get lost, man.
No, you're not allowed to go get lost.
Anytime I hear somebody calling my name, I'll just walk the other way. What? I'll bring a big
No.
fat sack of granola bars and water, baby. I'll be all right.
No,
It's
no,
not about
no, no.
survival. It's just about the marketing. It's marketing.
You know.
I saw him, but he was running the other way.
Have you ever heard the story of the USS Cyclops?
No.
All right, so in 1918, according to the talco.com, Quote, the USS Cyclops, a ship with 306 members and passengers on board, disappeared without a trace within the area known as the Bermuda Triangle. At the time, Franklin D. Roosevelt was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, and he declared all those on board as officially lost, and it was the largest disaster in U.S. Navy history that didn't involve combat.
Yeah, what was the weather that day?
I don't know, baby. I don't know what the weather was that day.
Because back then, you could run your boat right into a hurricane, and you never know.
Probably. But that was a lot of people, man.
I mean, a lot of people gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, but what about the Roanoke colony in 1584? Like, all those people went missing.
Bermuda Triangle.
No, that's
not. It used to go up to Virginia, but because of climate change, it's withdrawn a little bit.
How about the Mary Celeste in 1872, which is another boat, and they found the boat just floating in the middle
Where was
of the
that?
Atlantic Ocean, kind of near the Azores, and like the last entry in the ship's log was 10 days before they found the ship, and it had nothing in there that was interesting. And they like it had the captain, his wife, seven men in the crew, and the captain and his wife's two-year-old sons. All the personal belongings were still there, and they're like the cargo was there, so and it was all mostly booze, so they're like, pirates didn't do this. So they're like,
it sounds like aliens to me.
Well, one of the theories was that the fumes from the alcohol made everybody drunk and fall over the side of the boat.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I know. But, and then another theory was a giant squid got them, but there was no damage
at all. That would have sank the boat.
There was no damage to the boat. So they're like, yeah, that's not it.
Hey, Dee said two of her brothers are gasoline.
What?
Two of my brothers are ethyl.
What?
Ethyl alcohol.
Eagle Scouts.
That's Send awesome. That's a hard thing to get.
I know. That's a big deal.
Dee has also been through the Bermuda Triangle.
It came out alive. Or
I have as well.
You have?
Yeah, man. A couple times.
Have you? All right, all right, all right.
I did. I was like, I didn't even think about it. I forgot all about it when I was flying over there in Bahamas.
Doug says you could draw other triangles with similar results.
That's like, correct. There's an Alaskan triangle, Doug, and it's much more badass than the Bermuda Triangle.
There's a triangle in Massachusetts, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
That's just the heroin triangle.
No, it's not the heroin triangle.
Yeah, it is.
If there's a heroin triangle in Massachusetts, why have they so few missing people cases?
Oh, well, because they don't bother hiding their
dead people.
That's right. They leave. That's they got to make them public to scare the other people. Baby.
No. One of the most famous missing people is Amelia Earhart, which we did not talk about and we don't have time to talk about.
I know, but they're so old and boring.
It's not boring.
So her plane went down in the middle of the ocean before radar was any good and there was any. It's like 30,000 feet deep where her plane is slowly rusting and her bones are sitting in the cockpit seat or the pilot seat.
One of my favorite missing people stories, and I think we should maybe just do a podcast just about this one, is the Sodder children, and we'll have to do it in the future date.
What's that?
We're not having a podcast next week because it's Christmas Eve and we celebrate Christmas. But
what about the people that go missing that are never known to have existed?
Ooh. Like who?
Like what if all those people from that family in there in Pennsylvania, those 15 kids, what if they killed them all and buried them in the backyard? Nobody would have known the difference.
You mean the Sodders?
No. No, the one that we watched on the Netflix a couple weeks ago. It was the real modern. It was the real current one.
There wasn't any. Oh, no.
He had the Dutch boy haircut. Remember, we watched the documentary.
That must have been another one of your girlfriends.
No, with the two daughters, and the one girl crawled out the window with a cell phone. She didn't.
Dude, that wasn't in Pennsylvania. That was in California.
Oh, California. Whatever. Why are you gonna get stuck on geography? My point that is, was like, all of those kids could have been buried in the backyard. Nobody would know the difference.
No, they totally wouldn't, and that's so sad and so creepy.
So,
and
how many people are like that in the world?
Probably a
There's
lot.
There's a ton. There's a ton. Probably they, a lot. They can be full grown adults with like no family or just totally, what's the word? Separated from their familial life, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody even reports them missing.
No, like that.
Get picked up by a long haul trucker and killed and dumped on the side of the road in a shallow grave and nobody ever knows.
Lovely. But like that guy who is the main hermit who is living like above
the
ceiling in the library sometimes and out in the woods other times. Yeah,
that's
like,
right.
Nobody cared enough. That's so sad. That's so poor sad people. And lonely.
Missing but not.
The Sauter family story is really compelling, and it's in the 1950s, and there was a fire in their house on Christmas Eve, and some of the children didn't get out, but they also never found the children. And it looks like their house was set on fire on purpose.
That means somebody killed them ahead of time and removed their bodies to a different location, then set the house on fire because they couldn't figure out how else to conceal the evidence of their crime, such as blood splatter and blood stains and stuff like that.
That is not one of the theories that I read about that, but that's actually such a good theory.
It's the theory. I'm telling you, it's the truth. It was probably the father, too, unless they had like an uncle over there.
I don't think it was the father.
Well, they probably had another relative.
It's a really good theory. But anyways, we should talk about that one.
All right.
But it deserves more time than we have tonight.
Maybe we could do that.
And he said it's all good.
What?
Our first of the year podcast.
She's got a few friends that are going to help her with what?
Moving. She's moving Friday.
Oh, that's right. She said she was going to be in a new place when we drove down there.
Yeah. And so that came up because we're not going to be live broadcasting on Christmas Eve. I know. What kind of awful humans are we to not live broadcast on Christmas Eve?
You're lucky we only have like 8 listeners, because when we roll up to your apartment or house and we have a big old party, there's only going to be like 6 people there. So don't worry. It'll be all right. We're renting a motorhome, and we're getting the vinyl graphics all over the side. Loving the strange.
He's lying.
I'm not.
Totally lying.
D's down. We'll buy all the alcohol.
I don't think D drinks.
Which means 1 6-pack, and then it's BYOB. So, because we spent all our money on the graphics for the motorhome, damn it.
Who am I married?
A missing person, maybe. You married a missing
person. Also, is the week after Christmas Eve New Year's Eve?
Oh, dude, that's a good question. Let me look up the calendar.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. So we might not be doing.
Oh, my God. What is that? We can't go 2 weeks without a podcast.
Apparently, Dee does drink, which is probably the only reason she can make it through this podcast with us. But.
Carrie likes to think all of her friends don't drink.
I do. In my head, none of you drink. All my friends are very straight edge and perfect angels, and that's how I imagine.
And I know she's wrong. Don't worry. I'm a realist.
All right.
That's right.
Merry Christmas to you, Susie. And I hope you all have a happy holiday, whatever holiday you celebrate, and a great new year if we don't show up on New Year's Eve, which I guess we're going to have to make a decision.
Maybe we should. We can have a New Year's Eve podcast. We can have like all kinds of entertainment over here.
Like what?
I don't know.
Dancing dogs?
We'll figure something out. Strippers.
No, definitely no. Do they have strippers in Maine?
Oh, yeah.
One of my friends.
Partydancers.com, baby. Look it up.
One of my friends to make his way through college, he's a minister now. He was a novelty stripper and he was known as the skinny guy. Yes, he's now a minister.
Oh, I got a comment for that, but we're not going to take it right now.
Okay.
See, now Susie says she'll be in her PJs. She's ready for strippers.
No, no,
We can have some dudes, boys
no
and
stripper.
girls.
No,
Boys
okay, we're gonna end this podcast or I'm gonna go missing in a second. All right, thank you all for
and...
listening. We really appreciate
That's
it.
not true. She's lying. I'd never make her go missing.
Shawnee did a very good job.
So did you, baby.
I didn't do it
I'm
yesterday.
proud of you. I'm proud of you.
We hope
Thank you all for
I'm proud
listening.
of you, baby.
Have a
Yeah.
great holidays. And I promise we'll be here for New Year's Eve.
No.
We might be wrecked, but we'll be
I
here
want to
for New
have a
Year's Eve.
life, baby.
Oh, New Year, 8 o'clock, that's still 4 hours before midnight, baby.
I don't think anybody else will be here with us, though, except
What?
Susie. Maybe
See our
Susie.
New Year's Eve extravaganza? I can light firecrackers and throw them out the door right behind me so they
No,
explode.
definitely no. No.
All right.
No.
God. I'm trying, people. Don't worry. I'll keep up the good fight.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.